America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. afa.net/topics/250.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Tuesday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a wonderful morning. Hey, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it regardless of what's going on. The Lord is King. The Bible says in Psalm 29, the Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. Hebrews 13 tells us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he loved you yesterday. He loves you today. He will love you as a child of God forever and ever and ever. His mercy never fails. His grace never fails. He is faithful and true. We have so much to rejoice over. Well, I want to talk to you today about the subject of courage. And I have a question for you. Are you the hero of the story? I was listening to a clip that I'm going to play in just a little bit, how it was Jordan Peterson and Ben Shapiro. They were talking about how we like to put ourselves in situations in history and in Bible stories and things like that. And we say, yep, I would do that. I would be David. I would go out and fight Goliath. I would be Daniel. I would defy the king's order and get thrown in the lion's den. I would be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I would not bow to Nebuchadnezzar's image. We always think we're the hero of the story. Now, Joshua 1:9 is such a great verse of scripture where the Lord speaks to Joshua. Joshua is taking over from Moses. He's going to lead the people across the Jordan River into the promised land. Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you? The Lord says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. It's the third time he's told him to be courageous. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. My oldest grandson, Jack Cannon Van Hoy, that's the verse of scripture that his mom and dad pray over him every night. They have a verse of scripture for each one of their boys, three sons, blessed with those three grandsons. I have eight grandchildren total. Three are step-grandchildren, but we love them like they're our own. And the girls, Jill and Jay, have two girls. And so we're getting a full slate of grandkids. It's really, really fun. But that verse Amy and Travis picked for Jack, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We need courage. In our day and age, we need courage. You know, the definition of courage, it says this, Merriam-Webster, the definition of courage. It's mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, and difficulty. Firmness of mind and will in the face of danger. It's not the absence of fear. Courage is not the absence of fear, but the willingness to act despite the fear. That is courage. You know, Winston Churchill has the famous quote about courage. He said, it is the first of human qualities because it's the quality which guarantees all the others. Billy Graham said that courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened. Well, think about what's going on in our world today. We're wired this way. We watch a movie or we look at history or whatever. Yeah, I would be Daniel. I would be David. I would stand up for the Lord. Why aren't these more people standing up? Why aren't more people fighting Goliath? Why is David the only one? and you forget what it's like to be in the moment. It's easy to look back and say, well, I would do this and I would do that and I would do the other because the Lord is going to deliver. Well, that's looking back. You know, hindsight is always 20/20. It's easy to be an armchair quarterback. It's tough in the moment. So this is the interaction, Jordan Peterson, and then the commentary by Ben Shapiro that kind of sparked this in me for this morning.
People read the history of Nazi Germany. They always think they're Schindler. They always think that they're the person who would have saved Anne Frank in the Netherlands. They never read the history as a perpetrator. I wouldn't have done that. It's like, did you watch people during the pandemic? In Canada, 30% of my neighbors were thrilled that they had the opportunity to inform on the people around them. Thrilled. They would have worn those masks for the rest of their life if the payoff would have been they could feel morally superior and inform.
There's actually a thought experiment that Robert George used to do at Princeton, where he would ask students, now let's say that you were alive during the Civil War. How many of you would have been full-scale abolitionists? And every hand in the room would go up. He'd say, well, that's a lie. That's obviously not true. Everybody likes to think of themselves as the hero in the movie. That's particularly easy when you know the past. The question is, are you the hero in the moment?
Are you the hero in the moment? Now, how do you become the hero? We want to be the hero. I want to be the hero. You want to be the hero. There's something about us when we watch movies and stuff. We our hearts just go toward the hero. You watch things like The Patriot, Mel Gibson, or you watch Mel Gibson in Braveheart. You think, I want to be a guy like that, like William Wallace. I want to be like the character he played in The Patriot, who was willing to stand up and fight for what is right. Well, how do you get there? Because let's face it, there are not a lot of Davids. There are not a lot of Daniels. There are not a lot of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's. You know, when everyone had to bow in Daniel 3 to Nebuchadnezzar's image, there were lots of people there that day. Lots of Jews that had been taken from Jerusalem in the deportation. Daniel and his friends were taken in 605 BC. Nebuchadnezzar came back in 597 BC, took more people, and then he came back in 586 BC, wiped out the city, and took back more captives. And that was first deportation, second deportation, third deportation. That's what you learn in seminary. Well, you had lots of Jews there in Babylon. And when Nebuchadnezzar had the golden image and said, when I strike up the band, everybody bows, everybody bowed except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And no doubt the Jews that were there that knew you're not supposed to do that, they rationalized, well, you know, I mean, it's this God, how can I be a witness if I'm dead? I got to go along to get along. And they just rationalize. I like what one person said. What is the definition of rationalize? It's rational lies. You tell yourself lies. And then you believe those lies, and then you go along with the crowd. Everybody's doing it. Well, it says in Daniel chapter 1, verse 5, when Nebuchadnezzar took back this first group of folks, it says that he ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles. Youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court, and he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. Chaldeans, Babylonians, same thing. And the king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Okay, so he goes through and he picks out the brightest and the guys that showed the most promise, and we're going to put you into Babylonian graduate school. You're going to learn the literature and language of the Chaldeans. You're going to become part of my wise men of Babylon. And it says, Now among them from the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Those were their Hebrew names. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them, and to Daniel he assigned the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, really critical. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food. No doubt that food was sacrificed to idols. He wouldn't defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. That was a bold move. Because, you don't mess with Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, that guy will cut your head off at a moment's notice. I mean, you do something that ticks him off, you're dead, as we read in chapter 2, where he's going to kill all the wise men of Babylon because he gets mad at them. So Daniel takes this bold move, and God granted favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. Remember, Daniel just had vegetables and water. Just give us vegetables and water. We're not going to eat the king's choice food. And Ashpenaz said, well, you're going to be skinny, and then Nebuchadnezzar's going to come after me, and I'm going to forfeit my head. And he said, well, just test us for 10 days. And so he tested them for 10 days, and guess what? They weren't skinny. God was intervening in that situation. But here's the key to courage. Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself. Hey, as Christians, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as salt and light in this world, as his witnesses in this world, and we say over and over and over again, that is our only reason for being here. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, Jesus said, and you shall be my witnesses. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Paul said, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Wouldn't it be better to depart and be with Christ? We had a man in our church that just passed away a couple of weeks ago. And a couple of days before he died, he looked at one of our associate pastors and he said, I am going to have a better Christmas than you are. Because he knew he was getting ready to go be with the Lord, to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. It is better for all of us to depart and be with Christ. But we're here for such a time as this for one reason, and that is to shine and share, to be his witnesses. And as I have stated numerous times to the church and on the radio, on television, all the times that preaching sermons, I weave it in here. Listen, if you're going through a hard time, you're going through a hard time physically especially, it's hard when you're hurting, when your body is starting to betray you, when things that you used to be able to do, you can't do anymore. My dear mother is getting ready to be 98 years old. She'll be 98 in October. And her eyesight is failing. Her hearing is failing. She's in a wheelchair. Her mind is sharp as a tack. But life becomes very, very hard. And it's just difficult passing the days when you can't hear very well and you can't see very well. One of the greatest things you can do in that situation is you can still pray, you can still trust, but life is difficult. Listen, the greatest witness in those difficult seasons of life until the Lord calls you home is to still trust God, is to still praise God, is to let the joy of Jesus just ooze out of your life. Fanny Crosby, the blind hymn writer, she said how her poem, I don't have it written down, but she said basically the last line of the poem is, to weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot, nor I won't. I'm not going to dwell on those things. I'm going to dwell on the fact that the Lord is with me. He promised to never leave me and never forsake me. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to bless him. Yet I will rejoice more and more, the psalmist said, and I will continue to praise him, continue to trust him, continue to lift him up. Listen, when you go through a hard time in life and you're praising the Lord, that speaks volumes to a lost and dying world, because they say, how does this person do that? I would be bitter. I would be angry. I would be in a foul mood all the time if what happened to them happened to me. and when you're able to still praise him. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise toward God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. We can do that. You can make up your mind to do that. Hey, are you the hero of the story? Let's be honest. What can you do to be the hero of the story? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We'll be right back.
Candace talks about finding out she was pregnant. Thankfully, an ultrasound provided by Preborn allowed her to hear her baby's heartbeat.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
Preborn currently has clinics that do not have ultrasound machines. Would you consider a leadership gift and sponsor a machine today? These life-saving machines cost $15,000, more than most centers can afford. Your donation will save countless lives for years to come. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about this question. Are you the hero of the story? We want to be the hero. We want to be the person that stands up against the evil. But we live in a society today, Isaiah 5 verse 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We have so many people, the progressive left, that are so supposedly so tolerant. They just love everybody. Well, they hate lots and lots and lots of people. Obviously, they don't love everybody like they claim to. They love everybody who thinks like they do. And people like me and others that love the Lord, we love people. We hate the ideologies that they hold to. We hate Islam, but we don't hate Muslims. Islam is destroying billions of people. And so we hate that. We hate those things that the devil is using to destroy and to deceive and to send people to an eternal hell. But we love the people. You know, the old line is still true. You can hate the sin and still love the sinner. And in our world today, the sinner says, if you don't love my sin, you don't love me, and therefore you are a hater. Well, one of the big issues that we see today in America and in the world is anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism on the rise. So Jordan Peterson was talking about that. You put yourself into Nazi Germany and you say, how did all these people do these terrible things? Well, there is a Jewish lady. Her name is kind of a hard name to say, Flor Hassan Nahum. She's the former deputy mayor of Jerusalem. I posted a clip that she did. She was speaking to a crowd, and that she gave a speech, and she was talking about how the Holocaust came into being. I thought her insights were fascinating. This is what she had to say.
People ask us all the time, how did the Holocaust happen? How could all these people in Germany have turned into monsters? How did it happen? Well, let me tell you how it started. There was a man called Joseph Goebbels, who was the propaganda minister of Hitler. And he put a radio on every German household. And for 4 years, he indoctrinated people into thinking that everything that was wrong in Germany was the fault of the Jews. And so by the time Hitler started to commit the atrocities against the Jews, everybody was on board. That's happening here and around the West right now. We are fighting seven proxies of the Islamic Republic of Iran. We fought Iran. We've had rockets from Iraq, Shias, from the Houthis, from Hamas, from Hezbollah. But the invisible war going on right now on your news channels is actually very scary and very real. And let me tell you what it is. In academia, the world has turned upside down. The bad guys are the good guys, and the good guys are the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
Indigenous people of Israel, the Jewish people, the people that King David created Jerusalem 3,000 years ago. The Jewish people have been in the land of Israel for over 4,000 years ago. And somehow, we're the colonizers now. That's coming from academia. The victims are now the aggressors. Feminists are supporting rape. And the queers are marching for Palestine? Are they kidding? Now let's look at the media. What's going on in the media? Well, the media has been taken over by the woke mindset, which is all about the oppressor and the oppressed. And of course, if you're Jewish, you can never be oppressed because you guys work too hard. You're successful. You have to be a special type of victim for anybody to feel sorry for you. Certainly, you can never be a victim. And so the news is not news anymore. The news is an agenda. They platform anti-Semites that are bottom feeders. They're the worst of the worst. They're fringe. And all of a sudden, they're platformed and raised. The medians now are political commentators, and they're taken seriously. You have thousands upon thousands of Christians being killed, slaughtered in Africa, in Egypt, in Syria, never in the news, because the people killing them have to remain the victim. God forbid the real oppressor should be called the real oppressor. And that's what's happening in the news right now, on your screens every single day.
That was the former deputy mayor of Jerusalem. And what she's saying is spot on. And the news doesn't report the news. They have an agenda. And so they cherry pick whatever fits their narrative. And they're not going to show you the Muslims killing the Christians in Nigeria and in Egypt and in Syria. They're not going to show that. That wouldn't look good. They're not going to show and emphasize when you have a black man killing a white person, because that's not good. When you have an illegal immigrant killing raping and killing some lady, they don't want to emphasize that. That doesn't fit the narrative. They want to go all in. If you have a George Floyd situation, I mean, it's going to be nonstop 24/7 on that. And it is, as she was saying, how Joseph Goebbels and the Nazi regime was kept pumping into the minds of the people, all our problems are caused by the Jews. Once you get the people to see the Jews as less than human, well, then you can do anything you want to them. They're lab rats at that point. And the horrible things that were done. I saw a clip from Arnold Schwarzenegger. He said he was just recently at Auschwitz and seeing, you know, that place. Good night. I mean, how do you keep the tears from just flowing out of your eyes when you see the evil and the atrocities that were committed at that place? When I was in Rome at the Colosseum, and I was walking around the Roman Colosseum and just thinking to myself, so many Christians were slaughtered at this place. They were killed by lions and stabbed and beaten and tortured, and people were cheering. Just awful. But that happened, and people actually did that. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 2, he said, there's coming a time where people will kill you thinking that they're doing service to God. Muslims are like that. They will kill you, and they think they are gaining points with Allah. Allah is a false god. He's no different from Baal. And he's a bloodthirsty, evil God. And the Muslims don't see him as evil. Oh no, he's perfect. He's this great God. But that's the devil. He deceives people. People, those guys that flew the planes into the World Trade Center and into the Pentagon, were they thinking to themselves, you know, I do this and then I'm going to die and then I'm going to go to hell forever? Because I don't have a relationship with Jesus. Of course not. They were signing up to do that because they were told, if you do this, you get to the head of the line to be in paradise, and you'll have 72 virgins that are there just to please you. And it tells you something about a quote-unquote religion when the benefit, the payoff at the end, is sexual immorality. That's what you have in Islam. And the women that talk about it, I saw a clip not too long ago from a Muslim woman who are saying, yes, paradise is going to be so great. We're just going to be served and have all these nice clothes and nice food, and everybody will serve us. That's the religion. It's all on indulgence. What is heaven for a believer? We see the Lord's face. We serve Him. We get to be in His presence. In His presence is fullness of joy. And in His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. It's not sexual pleasures. It's not riches and finery. It's to be in the presence of the Lord. I mean, is heaven a great place? Of course. What eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has even entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. But we long to go to be with Him, to be in His presence. The God of the Muslim is not a God you get close to, but the God of the universe, the true God, the real God, is the God that says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's the God who embraces us. John was able to put his head on Jesus' chest at the Last Supper. The Father in Luke chapter 16, the father of the prodigal son, he runs to the prodigal when he comes back in repentance, and the Father embraces him and kisses him. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we love. That's the God that we are one day going to see face to face. Now, on the subject of anti-Semitism, Ted Cruz, I just ran across this this morning. Ted Cruz was talking about the danger that is hitting this world, and you can just feel it. The whole world, 1 John 5:19 says, lies in the lap of the evil one. The evil one hates Israel. The evil one hates the Jews. Why? Because God chose them. God gave promises to them. The evil one wants to destroy Israel. What happens at the Battle of Armageddon, Revelation chapter 19? Jesus comes back and saves Israel at the very last second. He is Jehovah Nick of Time. He comes back in the nick of time when it looks like Israel is going to be wiped out completely by the Antichrist. The Lord comes back and delivers them, and He sets up His kingdom right there in Jerusalem. He is the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David. Well, this is what Ted Cruz had to say about the rise of anti-Semitism.
And I tell you, there's a threat in particular that worries me deeply, which is we are seeing anti-Semitism rising across this country. About 10 years ago, anti-Semitism began rising on the left. And the Democrat Party leadership looked the other way and hoped it would go away. And it has all but consumed the Democrat Party today. Today, there is a very real pro-Hamas contingent in the Democrat Party, and the rest of the Democrats are terrified of the pro-Hamas contingent. Look at all of the so-called mainstream Democrats who took a pilgrimage to Manhattan to stand alongside Comrade Mamdani. But listen, as Republicans, it's easy for me to criticize the Democrats. I'll tell you, in the last year and a half, we have seen anti-Semitism rising on the right. And we've seen more of it than I've ever seen in my lifetime. And there are a handful of self-appointed, outspoken influencers who are pushing anti-Semitism on the right, who are going on air and attacking Israel every day, attacking Jews every day, attacking President Trump every day. The single most dangerous one of all of them is Tucker Carlson. And Tucker Carlson and Marjorie Taylor Greene and a whole bunch of others, they have lost their ever-loving minds. But they are battling for the soul of our party and the soul of our country. And listen, I will say there has been no constituency in America that has been stronger supporters of Israel than evangelical Christians.
That's true.
Tucker Carlson has said on his show, there is nobody on planet Earth he hates more than Christian Zionists. And he identified in particular me and Mike Huckabee as the two human beings he hates the most. You know what? I bear his scorn with pride.
Amen.
Because I have resolved about a year ago that I am going to do everything I can to fight and defeat this poison, and we will not let it destroy our party or our nation.
Amen. That was Senator Ted Cruz. He made up his mind, just like Daniel. I made up my mind. I'm not going to defile myself with the king's choice food. And he trusted God. Could have lost his life for that, but he said, this is my line in the sand. This is my hill on which to die. And because he did that, and he wouldn't compromise there, he was able to not compromise in other places. And he was able to defy the king's command in Daniel chapter 6, where he wasn't supposed to pray to any god except the king. And he continued to pray three times a day, open up his windows toward Jerusalem and pray, and he got thrown in the lion's den for that. Are you willing to get thrown in the lion's den? Am I willing to get thrown in the lion's den? Listen, as we stand up for what is true, what is honorable, what is right, as we stand up for Jesus, as we speak the truth in love, the world is not going to like it. People will want to silence you, silence me. That's okay. You just know that's coming. But we don't have to fear. Have I not commanded you? The Lord said to Joshua. Have I not commanded you? The Lord says to you and me as his children. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The world cannot hurt you unless the Lord lets down the hedge for a reason, for a purpose. Hey, you could lose your friends for standing up for truth. That has happened. You could lose your finances and your job. That has happened to people. You can lose your freedom. You can get put in jail. That has happened. That happened in Nazi Germany as Christians, Martin Niemöller and others. Dietrich Bonhoeffer stood up for what was right. You can lose your life, but that's okay. As Jesus said in Revelation 2, verse 10, to the church in Smyrna, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. We need to be faithful to the Lord. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, a comment, maybe a brief testimony about how God gave you the courage to stand when no one else was standing and how he blessed you for it, we'd love to hear it. So give me a call and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking about the subject of courage. And here's the question. Are you the hero of the story? As we've said, we like to put ourselves as the hero of the story. We like to say, yeah, we would be David. We would go up against Goliath. But as Ben Shapiro so aptly said, you know, it's not the hero in past history, it's the hero in the moment. It's real easy to look back, armchair quarterback, and, you know, hindsight's 20/20. Oh, I would have done this, I would have done that. But when you're in the moment, when the fear is there, are you willing to go out on the battlefield? David was willing to go. Did he have fear? Well, he's human, isn't he? Would you have had fear? I remember when I preached on David and Goliath, the last time I asked the question, do you think David was afraid to go out there? We kind of think, no, he wasn't afraid. Well, would you have been afraid? Yeah, I know I would have been afraid. Well, he's not Superman. He's a 16-year-old kid with a stick and a sling. Yeah, he was afraid. Fear's okay. This is a great lesson to learn. Fear's okay as long as your faith is greater than your fear. Courage is not the absence of fear. It is the willingness to act even in the face of fear. And remember what Billy Graham said, courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of those who are often stiffened, because others see the courage and they say, okay, I'm going to follow in those footsteps. Now, before we go to the phone lines, and I encourage you to call in 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840 if you have a question or a comment. And we'd love to take your call. But before we do, I want to share one of my favorite illustrations. John MacArthur shared this in a sermon. I've never forgotten it. It has to do with the Boxer Rebellion in China that took place 1899 to 1901. And during the uprising, extreme Chinese nationalists, known as the Boxers, launched a violent campaign against foreigners, Christian missionaries, and Chinese Christians. And they came to a particular mission school, sealed off all the exits except one, and in front of the open gate, they placed a cross on the ground in the dirt. And they told the missionaries and the students inside that anyone who walked out and trampled over the cross would be allowed to live and go free, and those who refused would be killed. And so the first seven students came out, scared to death, came out and did what they said. They trampled over the cross, and they were permitted to leave unharmed. But the eighth person that came out was a young girl, and she approached the cross, and she knelt down before the cross, and she prayed for strength, and then she walked around the cross, not over the cross. She walked around the cross, and she immediately was shot and killed. And every single person after her followed in her footsteps. They knelt at the cross. They were killed. And the number was 92 that followed after her. Their spines were stiffened when they saw her courage. And that's just one young girl who said, I'm going to be faithful until death. I'm not going to be ashamed of Jesus. I don't care what it costs me. I'm going to be his witness all the way to the end until he takes me home. And that's the way you and I need to live our lives. We need to make up our minds as Daniel made up his mind. I'm not going to defile myself with the king's choice food. I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to stand up and speak up. I'm going to shine. I'm going to share. I don't care what it costs me. My life belongs to him. Hey, we've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. Well, the number to call is 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, we have our friend Linda on the line from Texas. Linda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for your program. But boy, I have a testimony for my granddaughter, Katie. She's 21 years old, and you talk about courage. And I'll give examples. She was engaged, and we loved the gentleman she was engaged to and all, but something, he went astray somehow and broke that engagement, and how she handled it was, I think then God just closed the door because that was not the right man for me, okay? Mm-hmm. Second one, she works with horses. Just recently, she was stomped on by a horse on her right foot. That young lady, you know, went and got it checked out and, you know, got a boot. But anyway, she went to work that day, okay? She works with children with the horses, okay? And she just decided recently that she's going to do sign language. And the sign language is because she works with deaf children. And that's what she's going to take some, you know, how to learn that, okay? The last thing is beautiful. Where she works, the people love her. A young man that works with her came to our church because he was so, I mean, he just saw the Lord in her. And that, you know, that's just a real quick resume of saying, and I wrote that whole Joshua scripture about courage. mm-hmm. and send a card to her. And I just wanted to give that testimony because this was a young person that, you know, and I've gone in there to where she works, and they just absolutely love her, you mm-hmm. know. And so I just Amen. Thought, you know, to me, that's what courage is all about.
Yeah, very good. Well, thank you, Linda. Thank you for sharing that. And God bless your granddaughter, and that we'd have more like that, that would stand up and be courageous for the Lord. So thank you for your call. Thank you for being a faithful listener and always a great encouragement to me. Well, we have David on the line from Florida. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
I was hoping you'd run out of time and not get to my phone call.
How funny.
Now, that being said, no, I get the tears now. I've been weeping on and off for quite a while now about what's going on with this country, with our churches, mm-hmm. what's going on just around the world and the human capacity to allow what's happening happen. I mean, I watched a really impactful movie by Tom Hanks about World War II, and my wife was having nightmares after that because it was so revealing of how torturous and how butcherous the communism is and the Germans were. But the reason I called is this morning as I was on my knees, just feeling totally unworthy to be before my Lord. Mm. I mean, Isaiah said I'm a worm, and I think I'm less than that. I don't even have I don't feel like I have the right to be before Him in His throne praying, because I am just so vile sometimes, and it's just. Mm-hmm. It just wrecks my soul, and it just really, it just makes me just more aware of how loving He is and how powerful He is and how forgiving He is, and that's about all I've got to say.
Yeah, oh, I love that, David. That's a great thing. You're drawing, as we draw near to the Lord, we're very aware of our own sinfulness before Him, and so it does do exactly what you're saying. But the good news is God is merciful and gracious and kind. Psalm 86, verse 5 is one of my favorites from David. It says, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you." And so, yes, we do have those times where we just say, "Lord, I just am so unworthy. But because of your Son, because of your blood, Lord Jesus, that you shed on the cross, you make me worthy, and you have made me accepted in the Beloved. And I can stand without fault and blame," as it says in Jude, that great doxology in Jude. "Now to Him who is able to keep us from stumbling and make us stand in His presence blameless with great joy." And we can do that and claim God's word over our lives. There is, therefore, Romans 8:1, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God bless you, brother. You have blessed my heart today with that testimony, and I thank you for calling in. We have Karen on the line from Oklahoma. Karen, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Good morning. I wasn't going to call, but you inspired me by talking about Franklin Graham, I think it was, anyway, and how the young lady walked out and prayed at the cross and how that strengthens the spines of others
yes.
behind her, even though they faced persecution themselves. Yesterday, I'm sorry, I'm out walking. Yesterday, I was at the doctor's office, and the first thing that provider said to me was, "I'm going to turn on AI so it will listen and dictate our conversation." And mm-hmm. I looked at her and said, "What do you mean you're going to turn on AI? And so she went further to explain, and I said, no. She said, "Well, it'll make my job harder." And I said to her, "I also am a registered nurse, and I understand the dynamics behind this, but AI does not get it right every time. And are you going to go back and read the dictation and correct the errors that are there?" Mm. And she just looked at me, and I said, "No, you can dictate normally like we learned in school." And so I think if we don't stand up against certain things, we really are going to be in a world of hurt. And if we're not teaching the younger ones that are coming up with this as normalcy in their world, and if they don't see that it's not normal, we're in trouble. We really are going to be in trouble.
Yeah, that's a good point, Karen. You know, in the world today, and I see it in my own life, especially with AI, you can just, that can be your go-to for any situation, for any information that you need, and you have to be careful. AI is not infallible by any stretch of the imagination. AI is liberal in its interpretation of social things and cultural things. And so I have found that even asking AI history questions, sometimes they don't get those right. And so you got to do exactly what you're saying. Hey, are you going to go back and read through this to make sure it's correct? Because it can be incorrect. And we just get lazy. And I'm talking to myself that you can just rely on that and it'll be, everything will be right there at your fingertips. When you think about kids growing up today, you know, we had to learn times tables and all those things, and just you know, rote memory on those you know, 8 times 7, things like that. You know, in today's world, everything's calculator. Everything is, you know, why do I need to learn that? I can just pick up my phone and I can get all that information. But it short circuits having to learn. Think about just remembering phone numbers. We used to remember phone numbers. I don't remember phone numbers anymore. I sometimes have to look at the number to call for American Family Radio call-in line because my brain is not good with remembering numbers like it used to be. And it's just because we get lazy with those other things. So I appreciate you calling in, Karen, and I appreciate you standing up for, hey, I don't want that, and do it the old go the old-fashioned way. That's why when we talk about the SAVE Act, I like what you hear from President Trump and others that want the SAVE Act. Hey, what's the way to secure our elections? One-day voting, paper ballots, you have to show ID to show you're a citizen of the United States and you have voter ID to vote. And we have votes cast on one day. We have the results that night. Let's go back to that. Let's go old school, because outside influences, China, Russia, whoever, you can't hack a paper ballot. And so I think that's the way to secure our election. So God bless you. We have Philip on the line from Texas. Philip, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. My comment is just, you know, everybody wants to say, hey, I could be the warrior. I can stand up and be the hero. You know, just like the lady that set, you know, around the cross and everything.
Yeah.
My question or my statement is, what did we do during COVID? When a government said, don't go to church, mm-hmm. Did we kneel on the cross? Did we walk around it? Or did we walk over it? Mm-hmm. And then, are we walking on the cross when we don't vote? Or are we walking on the cross when we're not treating our spouse like God calls us to? Are we walking on it when we help our kids learn our history so that they can make better choices as they adult up?
Yeah, well, we're really hurting our witness, aren't we, when we don't, as husbands, when we don't love our wives, as wives, when we don't respect our husbands, when, you know, one of your greatest testimonies, not only how you handle difficulty in life, still praising the Lord, but one of your greatest testimonies is how do you handle your marriage? We have lots of Christians that their marriages go haywire, and that is your key testimony to the outside world. That I love my wife. Yes, we have ups and downs, because that is life. That's two sinners living under the same roof. But we are committed to the Lord and committed to one another. And the Bible says, can two walk together unless they be in agreement? And when couples get together to be married, the agreement is we're going to let the Lord build our house. We're going to follow Him and His will, His way, His word. For our marriage. And when couples do that, they can get through any hurdle. So I appreciate that, Philip. God bless you, brother. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. It's a joy for me to get to share with you every morning. I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve, and you're listening to American Family Radio. Go out today, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.